Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're in the midst of our series, Led by Fire, and learning from the life of Moses and what happened, what transpires as he leads the people, the children of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt, across the Red Sea, and now they're in the wilderness. And so we meet up with them today in chapter 18, Exodus chapter 18, and I want to speak to you this morning from the subject, advice you didn't ask for, advice you didn't ask for. How many of you just across the campuses would say you love getting unsolicited advice? You just love that, warms your heart. You know, like it starts usually with something along the lines of, I know you didn't ask, but, and you want to just say, yep, that, the first part was correct, didn't ask. So in preparation for the message, just kind of looking across all of a bunch of different resources, but decided to Google unsolicited advice. And I think it's telling that the search results were mostly filled with sarcastic comebacks to when people say something that you didn't ask for or give you advice that you didn't want. And so that's just the way we operate. That's like our default is to say, oh, okay, I wish I'd, next time they say that, something like that, here's what I'm gonna say, I'm gonna have a zinger for them. But what if the advice you didn't ask for is the answer from God that you so desperately needed? What if the unsolicited advice that you received was a word from the Lord for you? Would you be able to hear it? Would you be able to receive it? Would you be able to listen to it? When we come to Exodus chapter 18 today, we come on a situation, in on a situation where Moses is going to receive some unsolicited advice. He's going to receive some advice he didn't ask for. And what we're going to find out as we dive into the passage today is that God works through that, that there are times, there are moments where that advice you didn't ask for is God working through people around you to help you live a life led by fire. Because oftentimes, we want to believe that if we're going to be led by fire, it's going to be us and God. It's going to be God speaking directly to us. It's going to be a word from His word that just hits home right in that moment. But sometimes, God speaks to us through the unasked for opinions of people around us. But before we jump into all of what we're going to see in Exodus chapter 18, I want to set the stage for you a little bit, because in verse 1, the chapter starts with a bit of a family reunion. Exodus chapter 18, verse 1, Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, some of you see where this is going, heard all that God had done for Moses. My mother-in-law is laughing right now. For Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her two sons. So what's going on here? Why had Moses sent her home? When stuff started to go down with Pharaoh in Egypt and the plagues started to get crazy and kind of the wheels started coming off for the Egyptians in the midst of God's judgment and showing his power, preparing for the children of Israel to leave Egypt, scholars believe that Moses took Zipporah and his two sons in order to preserve their safety and sent them back to Midian to live with her dad, his father-in-law. And now Moses has crossed the Red Sea with the children of Israel. He's actually in the land of Midian. And so Jethro brings back Zipporah and Moses' two sons. Now Jethro and Moses have a little interaction. So we go to verse 4. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, you seeing a theme here? Father-in-law Jethro am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done for Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. Because in this affair, they dealt arrogantly with the people. Here's what is so striking about this. Before we go into the rest of the chapter, Jethro, what we know about him is that he's a deeply religious person. He's called a priest of Midian. He's a pagan priest, part of a pagan religious system, but he doesn't have any relationship with the one true God. And yet his son-in-law, Moses, is somebody that he's had relationship with for a long time. And he's listened to Moses and he's watched Moses from a distance. And Moses has said that God talks to him. And Moses no doubt came back and told Jethro that God spoke to him out of a burning bush and told him to go into Egypt and to confront the most powerful ruler on the face of the earth. And Jethro just stands back and watches. And now he hears Moses recount all that God did and how God went before him and how God was true to his word. He's watching all of this. He's listening to Moses' story. He hears about the parting of the Red Sea. And in that moment, Jethro makes a faith declaration. He says, now I know. Okay, I get it, Moses. And Jethro puts his faith in the one true God. You're going to have some moments like this. You're going to be around people. You're going to be around friends and family. Maybe you're going to be on a FaceTime call or a Zoom call with them. You're going to be interacting with them in a way that is heightened and it's more interaction than you have throughout the year. And guess what? They've been watching you from a distance. They've heard you talk about your relationship with Jesus. They know you're a person of faith, but they've never bought in. And could it be that you're going to share the story of what God has done through a pandemic year, and they're going to see that you didn't fail and God didn't falter, and he was with you the whole way, and through these circumstances and the trial, God was faithful, and they're going to say, now I know. Could it be the person you've prayed for a decade is going to make a decision for eternity? Could it be? Could it be? I believe there are going to be some now I know moments. Now I know moments. God's going to speak through you. He's going to use your story. God uses Moses' story, and Jethro's life is forever changed. And it would be all warm and fuzzy if that's where the story ended. It would be like, oh, what a powerful thing. And the father-in-law went home and everything just kind of. But verse 13 is where the potential trouble starts, because the father-in-law doesn't go home. The father-in-law decides to stay. That happens sometimes. Decides to stay, and he goes to work with Moses the next day. And he immediately sees some problems. This is the prerogative of in-laws at times. And we're going to go now to look at some unsolicited advice, some advice Moses didn't ask for, and what happens out of these interactions, because it's not just what Jethro does. The important part of advice you didn't ask for is how you're going to respond to it when you receive it. And there are three aspects of the way Moses responds through this interaction with Jethro that teach us how God leads us by fire through advice we didn't ask for. And the first thing I want you to notice is this. Moses listened. Okay, somebody got an amen there. That's good. Moses listened. He listened. Verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing. So what is Moses doing? Moses is, at the beginning of the day, he is going out into the camp and he's listening. He's listening to all of the complaints, all of the arguments between the Israelites. So he stole my sheep, and she owes me money, and the line is backed up as far as the eye can see. And his father-in-law is watching this. And when he saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me and inquire of God when they have a dispute. They come to me and I decide between one person and another. I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good." Has somebody close to you ever watched you at work doing your job? Not their job, your job. Doing your job, doing what you feel called to do, doing what you feel good at, doing what you feel a grace of the Lord on, just going through your day, watching your routine, and at the end of it, they said, "Hey, can I just pull you to the side for a minute and just tell you what you did today? You bombed. It was not good." How do you think that's going to go? Here's what I think. I think Moses could easily say a few things to Jethro in this moment. "Oh, really? Okay. Didn't realize I had hired you as a life coach, Jethro. Appreciate that. How many people are in your little compound? What, 50? Ever led a nation of 2 million? You know? Ever stared down Pharaoh? Ever gone toe-to-toe with the most powerful ruler on the face of the planet? Has that ever happened to you, Jethro?" "No, I didn't think so, Jethro." "Ever parted the Red Sea?" "I missed that one. Kind of missed it. You know, like, I just told you, yes. I mean, haven't you, like, been following God for, like, 24 hours? You know, I mean, you know, kind of like you could, you know, give it a little time. You know, where do you come off telling me how to do what I do, Jethro?" How often does that sound like, even if we don't say it, what plays in our minds when somebody comes along with advice we didn't ask for? Man, who do they think they are? I mean, they don't understand what I'm up against. They don't understand what I'm facing. They've never lived a day in my shoes. They don't know what I'm up against. They don't know what my life is like, Jethro. But what happens here? Jethro gives advice and Moses listens. Jethro gives advice and Moses listens. And here's the thing. The truth is that God wants to speak to every one of us. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you and you and you and you at the North Campus and at the West Campus and at Joplin and you in your living room online. God wants to speak to all of us. And we would be perfectly happy for him to do that. If he spoke in his booming audible voice, oh, we would like that. Or if he sent an angel, because then we could be like, "Well, you know what? Last night I was sleeping, I was sound asleep. And at 3 a.m, an angel showed up in my bedroom and spoke to me." Isn't that pretty cool? That is cool. But often, God doesn't choose to send angels. And often, God doesn't speak to us through his booming audible voice. Often, God chooses to speak through people. He chooses to lead by fire through the people around you. He chooses to send your boss. He chooses to send your life group leader. He chooses to send your father-in-law. He chooses to send your mother-in-law. It gets quieter each progression. Mother-in-law was the quietest so far. He chooses to send people. Husbands, he chooses to send your wife. Oh, come on. It's getting rowdy here at the South Campus. He chooses to send your wife. Wives, he chooses to send your husband. Oh, I hope that's happening everywhere right now. It's more awkward if you're at home watching online, just safety in numbers. So, he chooses to send your spouse to say, you know what, your routine isn't good. It's not working. It's hurting. It's hurting our relationship. It's hurting our home life. The hours you're keeping are not healthy. You know, when you get home and you're on your phone, doesn't work. Like when you're constantly on it, checking messages, checking social media, that doesn't work. It's not helping. You're on it a lot. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. It doesn't work. Okay, could it be that it's not your wife talking, it's the Holy Spirit talking? Could it be that it's not your husband talking, it's the Holy Spirit talking? Because God chooses often to lead us by fire through the unasked for advice of the people who are closest to us, if we'll recognize it. But all of us run the risk, if we're not careful, of missing it. We run the risk of turning off God's voice by silencing the people around us. Because instead of being receptive, we're defensive. We're defensive. Oh, so you don't like the way I do things? No, I thought you loved me. Like, I'm the person you married, so deal with it. Somebody's heard that one before. You know, I thought you had my back. Like, I thought you were here to encourage me. I thought you're supposed to build me up. You don't like the way I do things? You don't like the way I spend my time? You don't like the way I provide? Is that what you're saying? Don't like the way I provide? Because just let me know. Just let me know. If you don't like it, you don't like the house we live in? You don't like the way I parent our children? You don't like it, you just tell me, okay? No, I'm telling you. Well, I hear you, but you're saying it's me. You're saying I've got a problem. Here's the thing. If we respond defensively instead of receptively, we'll end up silencing the voice of the Holy Spirit because we turn off the people around us. Here's what you have to remember. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. The writer of Proverbs says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. What's the writer of Proverbs saying? Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth hurts. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. In other words, a friend doesn't always tell you what you want to hear. A friend tells you the truth. Jethro is telling Moses the truth. He's telling Moses, hey, guess what? If you do it like this, it's not going to go well for you. And you know what Moses can do? He can say, you know what? Go jump in a lake, Jethro. And what's going to happen? Moses is going to live exhausted and he's going to die an early death because Jethro watches and he says, you know what? I've lived a little bit of life and I'm watching your routine and I'm watching your day in and day out and this won't work. So let me give you some truth that hurts, Moses. Your routine is broken, but I've got some advice for you. And I want you to notice, Moses doesn't get defensive. He doesn't push Jethro away. He doesn't say, no thanks, father-in-law. He listens. How do we know he listens? we move deeper into the passage and watch this interaction unfold, because not only does he listen, but the evidence of listening is often learning. And Moses not only listens, Moses learned. Moses learned. Verse 18. You and the people will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Some of us really like the idea of change. You know, we like resolutions, we like goals, we like the idea of getting better, getting healthier, getting stronger, better relationships, more financial health. It's the actual changing we're not so crazy about. That's the part that hurts. It's the idea is very appealing. The execution is a little bit harder. But here's the deal. Listening is never enough. Listening is not enough. You go to the book of James, and James says, don't just be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves, be doers. Listening is not enough. You've got to learn. You've got to recognize your need to grow. You know what? Here, Jethro comes to Moses and says, Moses, you've got some things to learn. You've got some growth areas. You've got some areas that need to change. And once again, what could Moses say to Jethro? He could say, well, while we're talking about things that need to change, I've been watching you. And I've noticed some things that need to change in Jethro's life. But once again, Moses doesn't do that. He doesn't turn it back on Jethro. He leans in, he listens, and he learns from Jethro. But here's the thing. What makes Moses willing to do that? What makes Moses, in this moment where his defenses could be up, come down, and lean in and learn from the advice of his father-in-law? We're going to hear later in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 that one of the defining characteristics of Moses in the pages of Scripture is this. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone on the face of the earth. The devotional writer Andrew Murray defines humility this way. Humility is nothing but the disappearance of self. How do you keep from getting defensive when you get unasked for advice? How do you do that? How do you lean in and learn when all you want to do is push it away? You adopt a perspective and a posture of humility where you recognize that I need to fade into the background. My pride, my arrogance, my self-image needs to take a back seat to the wisdom of godly counsel in my life. Of people who love me and care about me and want the best for me. Jethro is saying, Moses, you're not Superman. Newsflash. You can't be a one-man band. You can't do it all. You don't have what it takes to service 2 million people, to care for 2 million people by yourself. You can't carry the load alone. And guess what? You can't either. And neither can I. None of us have it all. You don't have it all. Your spouse doesn't have it all. I don't have it all. None of us can stand where we're at and say, okay, I don't need anybody's advice. I don't need anybody's input. I'm doing a good job. I've got everything exactly the way I want it. That doesn't work. And here's part of the proof of it. That some of you have come in today and you're exhausted. Some of you have come in today and you're facing the same challenge over and over again. And it's not because life is meant to be hard. It's because you're not listening and learning. It's because you're not leaning in to the wise counsel that God is putting around you. Maybe that relationship isn't good for you. Maybe it's not the right time to quit your job. Maybe it's not the right time to go out and start a new thing. Maybe the voices that God has surrounded you with and the people God has put in your life are speaking. They're conduits of the voice of the Holy Spirit for you in this moment to do exactly what God is calling you to do, even though they're asking you and encouraging not for you to not do what you want to do. God is speaking. God is teaching. But you won't know if you're not ready to listen and learn. Because here's the deal. Learning is where the action is. Learning is where you begin to grow and change into the person God called and created you to be. That's where it happens when you begin to adopt a posture of humility that says, okay, I'm willing to change. Okay, I'm willing to acknowledge that I have areas that need growth, that things aren't working, that things aren't going as well as I would want them to. It takes humility not to dig in your heels and say, well, this is the way I was raised. So deal with it. This is the way my family did it. It's the way I grew up. Well, maybe your family did it wrong. Say, well, no, hey, they were good people and they had a good heart and they loved God. Moses has a good heart. Moses loves people. Moses loves God. And Moses is still, you were meant to finish that, wrong. He's still wrong. You can be a godly person, you can be a moral person, you can be a loving person, you can be a caring person, and you can still be wrong. You can still have growth areas, you can still need to change, you can still need, here's the good news, that as long as you have growth areas, you're not done growing. God is still leading you. God is still building you into the person he wants you to be. I don't want to be done growing. I want God to take me on a journey from glory to glory. I want to say, God, yes, if you see things in me that need to change, change them and send people along the way to help me do just that. That's the posture, that's the attitude that Moses has. And here's the thing, if he wasn't willing to listen and he wasn't willing to learn, then he would not have experienced what God sent Jethro to bring about in his life. What did God send Jethro there to do? Moses listened, Moses learned, and Moses' life got easier. Some of you are like, that's not biblical. That's not Christianity. Okay, let's go to the Bible. Exodus chapter 18, verse 19. Now obey my voice. This is Jethro talking. And I will give you advice. And God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, so here's the things that Moses, Jethro's saying, there are certain things that you have to do. You're called to do. They're essential to what God has put you among these people to do. But look for able men. From all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate a bribe, and place such men over people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you. And they will bear the burden with you. Could it be that God is putting people in your life? Could it be that there are voices around you that you've been pushing away? Could there be unsolicited advice that you've been sidelining? And God's saying, please listen. Please listen. I want to lift your burden. I'm not wanting to make your life harder. I'm wanting to make your life easy or easier. Here's the thing. You read that list. Moses' life isn't going to be easy. but God is gonna set him up to operate in the sweet spot of his calling. Here's the thing, I don't wanna do everything. I wanna do what God's called me to do. I don't wanna do everything well, because that's impossible. I wanna do well what God has called me to do. I wanna be who God has called me to be. And in order to do that, I've gotta be open to the voice of the Lord and the finger of the Holy Spirit putting and pointing out things that need to change in my life. And when I'm open to that, what does he do? He's gonna lift my burden. Sounds a lot like Jesus, Matthew 11, 28. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. That is the heart of God for you. That is being led by fire. How does Moses respond? Go back to Exodus 18, verse 23. Jethro says, if you do this, God will direct you. You'll be able to endure, and all the people will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. God wants to lead you. God wants to direct you. God wants to guide you. But it starts with listening, leaning into his voice as he speaks to the people around us.